Good morning, everyone. Thank you for making it this morning. I have to admit, when I looked out my door last night and saw sort of giant white snowflakes coming at a 45-degree angle, I was worried that we'd have significantly fewer people, but it seems that you've all made it safe and sound. Thank you on behalf of Roselle Bosch and Barney Asprey as well. The three of us have been the team bringing this conference together with the elaborate title of Divine Creations and Linguistic Creations, a conference in celebration of Janet Soskus's life and work, though for short we've been calling it to ourselves the Janet Conference for some time now. and we have a lot to get to today, people coming from across oceans and from just around the corner, and I'm sure we'll enjoy all of it, but so as not to take up too much time and leave that extra bit of time for the conviviality over coffee and people catching up who haven't seen each other for a while, I think we'll go straight to Professor McFarland. He's the current Regius Professor of Divinity here in the faculty, and he will get our day off to a good start. Thank you.
Good morning. Before I undertake the honor and privilege of formally initiating this day of celebration of Janet's life and work, I need to open on a sadder note, which is that today is also the funeral of Don Stebbings, who was a former chief custodian of the faculty, who died this last month on the 10th of November. I know that many who are here today have fond memories of Don, not least Janet herself, who was a fixture in the faculty for decades. And I would like, therefore, to begin, please, by asking us all to take a moment of silence to honor his memory. Thank you very much. Now, I'm delighted to turn to the much happier task of introducing the day by introducing the person we are here to honor a little, Professor Janet Martin Soskus. Janet is, of course, now the most long-standing member of the Cambridge faculty, where she has taught since joining the staff as university assistant lecturer in 1988. But well ensconced though she may be on West Road and Jesus Lane, Cambridge is not her native habitat. Like me, she hails from far away across the Great Water, where she grew up in a small town in Western Canada, just on the Pacific coast side of the Rockies. It was a former gold rush boom town turned ski resort, and Janet reports that one of her earliest ambitions was to be a ski instructor. But that was not to be. Janet observes wryly that she has ended up, quote, living in the flattest part of a non-snowy land. Although today, interestingly, we have a little bit of snow symbolically. I think a better way to imagine what's happened, though, is that she has exchanged the peaks of merely physical mountains for a career navigating the even more vertiginous spiritual heights of theology. A vocation that has required every bit as much nimbleness of mind and metaphorical foot, but without the need for bulky outerwear. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Janet's family left Canada for the U.S. when she was secondary school. She completed high school in Spokane, Washington, whence she matriculated at Cornell, initially with the intention of studying English, but changing to philosophy and anthropology. Her teachers at Cornell set in many respects certain trajectories for her going forward. Norman Malcolm, one of Wittgenstein's students, and Max Black, of course, well known for his work on metaphor. I should also note, however, that at this point in her career, the aforementioned physical mountains were still an integral part of her biography, as she combined a heady immersion in Wittgenstein and others with 2 years as captain of the Cornell women's ski team. But at the same time, the move from physical to spiritual heights was also underway, as in her words, it was at this time that she became God-obsessed, I think that means Catholic, having come from what she describes as a religiously indifferent Anglican childhood. After Cornell, it was Janet's intention to do a doctorate on metaphor and religious language within the context of cultural anthropology. So she was interested in studying it in particular in relation to Candomblé, the syncretic religion of northern Brazil. However, although she was admitted to the program, funding was not forthcoming. And so, Providencia Dei Confusione Hominum, she returned to Canada, working in the glamorous full-time position of waitress in Vancouver, while studying part-time at Regent College, with whose founder, Jim Houston, she remains to this very day quite close. Having spotted a young talent doing too much waitressing and not enough studying, Regent gave her a scholarship that allowed her to move to full-time study, and her philosophy lecturer there encouraged her to get in touch with New Testament scholar Anthony Thistleton, who was then at Sheffield, about her work on Wittgenstein. In a further instance of Providencia Dei Confusione Hominum, Professor Thistleton got the impression that what Janet wanted to do was a degree in biblical studies with him, which was in fact not what she wanted at all. But with typical willingness to strike out in new directions, she decided that such a degree was well worth pursuing after all. Why not? And with even more typical ability to perform at the highest standard in whatever task she pursues, she ended up getting graduation with a mark of distinction, writing a dissertation examined by the great Anglican Thomist Eric Mascall. At this point, Janet was planning to go back into anthropology, but Professor Thistleton prevailed upon her to stay in philosophy of religion and to go to Oxford, where all the Wittgensteinians she had been studying were. At Oxford, her supervisors were Basil Mitchell and Ram Hare, a philosopher of science who stimulated what has remained an enduring interest in science and religion. It was also at Oxford that she met Oliver, and I am told, on good authority, that the context was a reading group in radical philosophy. Radical, at this time in Oxford, meaning non-analytic. The text they were studying was Heidegger's Being and Time, and of course we could make all kinds of comments here about being thrown together, I suppose, but in any case, things went forward from there. It was still while a student at Oxford that Janet began her teaching career, first at Cullum College of Education, where she taught philosophy of religion and ethics, and then at Heythrop in London, where she worked on philosophy. After receiving her degree, Janet landed one of those much-coveted Oxbridge Junior Research Fellowships. I just had a breakfast meeting with Lord Williams, and just to get a sense of what he's like, they have, at Magdalen alone, they have 40 applications for JRF just in philosophy this year, 800 altogether across all disciplines. That's for one college. So I thought it was pretty good getting a Regius professorship, and then I realized actually the really competitive positions in this are the JRFs. Anyway, so she received one, which gave her 3 years at Somerville College, Oxford. This was one of those gender divided, at least at the time, JRFs. The males went to one college, Oriel, I guess, and women to Somerville. So she was there. During that time, she was also a member of the Oxford theology faculty. A role that continued when she took a job at Ripon College, Cuddeson, where she was the first woman to be a full-time staff member. It was during her 4.5 years there that her daughters were born. I am been informed quite recently that one of them was in the process of being born as Janet was actually marking scripts for one of the papers there. So again, quite the bit of dedication to the effort. And it was also, of course, during this time that her groundbreaking work, Metaphor and Religious Language, was published by Oxford University Press. And it was from Ripon that she moved to Cambridge at a time when only 7% of university teaching officers across the university were women. Now, Janet was not the first woman on the Cambridge Divinity faculty, but she was the first Catholic woman here, and one of her signal achievements was to have been integral in the team that established the Margaret Beaufort Institute, now located just down Grange Road. The institute trains women for lay ministry and is one of the constituent houses of the Cambridge Theological Federation. She was also, with David Ford, heavily involved in the fundraising that lies behind the building in which we are gathered, as the Divinity faculty was being ejected from its home across from St. John's. Her other activities while at Cambridge are really too numerous to list in full. I will note a few highlights, which I hope suggest something of the breadth of her engagement with the Academy, the Church, and the wider world. She is past president of both the Society for the Study of Theology and the Catholic Theological Association of Great Britain, and has served on the editorial boards of both Modern Theology and Concilium, and in fact, for the latter journal, has edited several volumes. She has had visiting appointments at the universities of Calgary, Uppsala, and Virginia, has been ecumenical advisor to the Archbishop of Canterbury, president of Jesus College, and up till this October, chair of this faculty. One of the gifts that I wish Janet had not given the world was giving me the chairmanship after she left, but there we go. She has also played an active role in interfaith dialogue, Jewish-Christian relations, Anglican-Roman Catholic ecumenical discussion, and Christian-Muslim dialogue, the latter particularly as a member of the Building Bridges Seminar, an initiative of the Archbishop of Canterbury for Christian-Muslim relations. And of course, alongside all this, there has been an ongoing stream of publications. Her most recent book, Sisters of Sinai, received accolades around the world, including Book of the Week on Radio 4 and inclusion in the Best Book of the Year lists in the Washington Post and the Christian Science Monitor. The range of her outputs is remarkable. In just the past 2 years, she has published essays on Dante, on monotheism in Islam and Christianity, on love and being as divine names, and on the doctrine of creation. At the heart of Janet's work in the faculty, however, has been teaching. She has taught ethics as well as theology and pioneered some of the most innovative and popular papers on the tripos, including Body, Self, and Society, God and Creation in Three Traditions, Naming God, and currently Love and Desire. And of course, a generation of scholars has received their doctoral training under her supervision. She writes, "Throughout my career, I have loved teaching, both undergraduates and my beloved graduate students who have so enriched my life and continue to do so. It is thus eminently fitting that her students should have taken the lead in both organizing and still more impressively contributing to this conference, and it is my great pleasure to hand it over to them, who in their work do far more honor to Janet than my poor efforts at the podium here could ever manage. Thank you very much, and do enjoy this wonderful day."